You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
A recent document obtained under the Official Information Act has revealed that Minister for Child Poverty Reduction, Louise Upston, is calling for a statutory review of New Zealand's current 10-year child poverty reduction targets. In the document, Upston said that New Zealand's current child poverty reduction goals were unattainable and called for investment into those targets to be reduced within the current time frame. The review will then be sent to Minister of Finance Nicola Willis, who will then have the final say on the fate of Aotearoa's child poverty reduction goals. For our weekly catch-up, I speak to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March for the party's take on Louise Upston's decision to reduce child poverty reduction targets. We also talked about the new charter for recreational hunting and fishing, introduced by Minister for Hunting and Fishing Todd McClay, as well as the Green Party's calls to ban bottom trawling. So to start off, what is your reaction to Louise Upston's calls to reduce Aotearoa's long-term child poverty reduction targets?
Louise Upston and the National Party are condemning thousands of children to live in greater material hardship. And what that means is children not having access to their basic essentials. At the core, we know that the government itself has actively undermined efforts to reduce child poverty. Things like weakening the quality of school lunches and scrapping public transport discounts, as well as cutting benefit increases, all have a downstream impact in terms of families being able to afford their basic essentials. So it's hypocritical for her to call it unrealistic when she's actively making it worse.
Do you think that our current poverty reduction targets are unattainable, as Louise Upson has said?
Child poverty and poverty more broadly is a political choice. And so when we've got governments that have set things like income support levels below the poverty line, when we've got a current government that is literally scrapping subsidies for prescriptions and or public transport, when we've got a government that is quite happy to let rent increases go way above inflation, I think the onus sits back again on the government's choices rather than assuming that child poverty is a thing that has to exist and that therefore tackling feels unrealistic.
And how do you think that reducing these targets will impact efforts to reduce child poverty in Aotearoa?
Well, I mean, the targets are one thing, and then it's what do we do to meet them? By weakening the targets, basically the government is giving itself permission to allow more children to live in moldy, damp homes and without enough food on the table, children living in conditions that means people may not be able to afford the power bills or the parents having to get into debt just to survive. And this is the reality of what Louise Upston is carving a path towards, which is more children experience the conditions that will leave them poorer later down their life. And this is not the country we should be aspiring to be.
The original 2018 Child Poverty Reduction Act was notably a bipartisan bill, with National and New Zealand First voting in favor of it alongside Labor and the Greens. If the proposed reduction of those goals goes ahead, would you view it as the coalition government retracting their previous promises and policies?
Well, it is the coalition government turning their back on children living in poverty, and that's what this is at its core. The previous targets set out by the previous governments were already criticized by many, including the Greens, for not being ambitious enough. And again, like, we've had report after report telling us the kind of things that we should do to actually tackle child poverty. Those things are within our reach. It's things like strengthening working for families. It's things like lifting income support above the poverty line. It's things like having enough public housing. All these things are, I would say, quite realistic. It's just the fact that we've got a government that is quite happy to serve the interests of corporates and the wealthy few as opposed to families doing it the toughest.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Minister for Hunting and Fishing Todd McClay has recently announced a new charter to ensure better access for recreational hunting and fishing on public conservation land. The charter is aimed to establish a common set of guidelines for hunting and fishing in all regions across the Motu and is the first of its kind. So I'd like to ask, what's your reaction to the government's announcement of this charter and what impacts do you think it'll have on Aotearoa's conservation efforts?
Basically, we do support a greater access to conservation land from the public, but I think at the core that needs to be done in a way that protects nature and biodiversity. I think it's important to acknowledge that there are many pests and invasive species that are putting our biodiversity at risk in the conservation estate. But at the same time, like, all these talks about kind of greater public access and kind of enabling hunting to deal with those issues are being undermined by a government that is also quite happy to literally destroy biodiversity and conservation estate land by opening it up to mining. So I think we've got almost two contradicting narratives going on between government ministers.
Do you think that the guidelines in Todd McClay's new charter are sufficient enough to regulate hunting practices and promote conservation efforts at the same time?
Well, I think we cannot rely on hunting in and of itself to address issues regarding conservation, right? Like, this is why investment initiatives like Jobs for Nature was critical to actually work in a much more holistic way to address the reality of the harm that invasive species cause in Aotearoa. And there more work needs to be done to also do this in collaboration with Mana Whenua and acknowledging that actually conservation is state at the core, is confiscated land. And so for us, an aspirational way of dealing with all these things would be to return the land, to invest in genuine, long-term, holistic conservation efforts rather than simply relying on greater public access to hunting.
Are there any hunting and fishing regulations the Greens believe need to be put in place to allow hunting to continue while also protecting our biodiversity and native species?
I mean, these are live conversations. I think at the core, we do support greater public access for those kinds of activities, but we shouldn't rely on those actually to deal with our biodiversity crisis. And we don't think that hunting in and of itself is the answer to conservation issues. And there are other initiatives that we would be investing in, like Jobs for Nature and otherwise.
All right, moving on to the last topic. The Greens have issued a call to the government to ban bottom trawling. This comes after the Nelson-based trawler, the Tasman Viking, caught 37 kilograms of coral in the Lord Howe Rise between New Zealand and Australia, exceeding international limits of 15 kilograms for coral fishing and prompting the immediate suspension of all fishing activity in the region until 2026. Can you tell us about the party's calls to ban bottom trawling and how the suspension of fishing in the Lord Howe Rise makes it significant?
Yeah, bottom trawling in and of itself is a really destructive practice, and it harms our oceans and the biodiversity in our oceans. In and of itself is critical to responding to climate change and to actually having food safety in our communities. I mean, you already gave a really good example of kind of the type of damage that is being done to our coral reefs. And this is a pretty straight up choice about whether we ban bottom trawling or we allow our ocean ecosystems to be destroyed at the cost of future generations not having a food basket and or the oceans to protect us against climate change.
This particular vessel, the Tasman Viking, was fined a year ago for fishing illegally in the same area. So how do you think that the continued practices of this vessel and also the fact that New Zealand is the only country still practicing bottom trawling in the South Pacific, how do you think this reflects on our country's fishing industry?
Well, I think, for all the talk about New Zealand being a progressive leader on sustainability issues, you've just outlined that actually we are an outlier when it comes to allowing the destruction of our oceans and giving away basically handouts for huge corporates to actually rip precious species and actually put communities at risk. And this is, I think, the key thing. It's like this government and successive governments have enabled big corporates to destroy biodiversity at the cost of the well-being of our communities. And this is why we need to ban bottom trawling and actually be in line with our Pacific neighbors who are doing their best to try and address issues relating to biodiversity and climate change.
How would you respond to the comments by Oceans and Fisheries Minister Shane Jones saying that the closure order was the result of an ideological crusade led by a cluster of NGOs and that we can't pretend that coral is more important than GDP?
Well, I think just Shane Jones is full of nonsense, and I don't want to spend time acknowledging nor responding to a politician and a minister of the Crown who genuinely does not give a damn about the science and evidence of climate change, and who actually is on the side of big corporates and serving the ultra of GDP, when at the core, GDP actually won't feed our communities. GDP is not a measure of how well people in poverty are doing. GDP is just about money moving, not who that money goes to. And therefore, I think that just shows Shane Jones's true colors, which is to be on the side of corporates and not communities and the planet that sustained us.
Now, while Shane Jones has been downplaying this particular incident, his own party leader, Winston Peters, recently attended a United Nations biodiversity conference in Colombia, where he called for the conservation of coral reefs and announced that New Zealand would be investing $16.7 million into coral reef conservation. Do you think that Winston Peters' statement and the planned investment is contradictory, given the attitudes from the contemporaries in his party?
Winston Peters is a hypocrite who flip-flops on his positions and has contradicting narratives on a range of issues. We cannot be destroying coral reefs via bottom trawling and then invest money elsewhere to protect those coral reefs. Once you rip out coral reefs from the ocean, the damage is, in terms of human lifespans, it's permanent. And the impacts in terms of biodiversity and climate change are enduring. So the answer to biodiversity crisis, to ensuring our communities have food from the ocean to put on the table, is actually to invest in protecting the reefs and to ban bottom trawling, not destroying one reef in one area and protecting the reef in another.
All right, thank you very much, Ricardo. That's about everything for me. But before we finish, I was just wondering if I could throw a short curveball question.
Yeah.
With the U.S. election results coming out today, are the Greens keeping up with the U.S. elections, and are there any outcomes that the Greens are hoping for?
Look, I come from Mexico. Like, the election is personal, and this is that it will affect my local community, like my communities where I come from. And the truth is that, you know, Trump risks undermining democracy and poses a threat to basic human rights for many communities. At the same time, if Kamala wins, it will be a lot of work to be done to actually stop the US's warmongering policies and climate denialism. And so no matter the outcome, we will continue fighting for people and planet. But we acknowledge that the threat to basic human rights that a Trump presidency poses.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.